As you probably know, Steve Inskeep spent the past 2 weeks reporting from Pakistan, but he also brought back a story of extremists infiltrating Pakistan's armed forces, and we're going to talk about that now. Now, these are the same armed forces that are allied to the U.S., that guard a stockpile of nuclear weapons. So, Steve, what is adding to Pakistan's concern about enemies within?
It's last month's militant attack on a Pakistani naval base. This case points to a concern that a number of suspected al-Qaeda figures were discovered inside Pakistan's military itself.
Now, you're talking about an attack that made news last month, right, where a number of gunmen made it onto the naval base in Karachi?
Yeah, TV video at that time showed flames rising over that naval base in the night. This reporter is describing how attackers slipped past supposedly high security and destroyed a couple of naval surveillance planes. Now, from the moment of the attack, Linda, authorities have suspected an inside job, and a former Navy commander was eventually detained for questioning. But security officials are pursuing suspicions that the infiltration went deeper than that.
What do you mean deeper?
There's a disturbing backstory to this attack, which we're going to lay out this morning. A version of that story was first reported by a Pakistani journalist named Salim Shahzad. In a publication called Asia Times, Shahzad reported on what led up to the naval base attack. He said the Navy arrested at least 10 men with suspected links to al-Qaeda in its own ranks. Al-Qaeda, he said, demanded that the men be released, and when the Navy refused, the naval base was attacked in retaliation. Shahzad reported that story in late May. And a couple of days later, as you may recall, he was found dead. His brother-in-law, Hamza Amir, told us that he saw signs of abuse on the reporter's body.
They had taken pictures. He had wounds on his forehead, red marks, swollen, but it seemed very clear that he was tortured before probably he died.
Because of the marks you saw on his face.
Yeah.
The killing caused an uproar in Pakistan, and some suspicion has fallen on Pakistan's intelligence agency, which had complained about Shahzad's reporting in the past. The agency, the ISI, denied any involvement, and we do not know for sure if somebody wanted to silence Shahzad, the reporter here.
But what we're tracking here is the substance of the story, right? His claim, based on anonymous sources, that at least 10 al-Qaeda suspects were found in the Pakistani Navy. Is that claim true?
We can't verify all the details, but security officials do affirm this much. Before the naval attack, the Navy really had detained a number of al-Qaeda suspects inside the service itself. And it helps to explain why current and former military officers were so disturbed by this militant attack.
Now, we've heard a lot about Pakistan's past policies supporting militant groups, but this sounds like something different.
Yeah, that was official covert support. This is a case of a fair number of people currently in uniform who are suspected of working against their own institution. And it's not the first case of this. A couple of years ago, you may recall, men in military uniforms somehow shot their way into Pakistan's army headquarters. And there was suspicion at that time that the attackers had connections inside.
So where do they think these extremists are coming from?
Part of the answer comes from Pakistan's history. Back in the 1980s, a military ruler, Zia-ul-Haq, promoted Islam in the military. And this was, of course, at the same time that the United States was promoting a so-called holy war based from Pakistan into Afghanistan, which the Soviet Union had occupied. I met a retired Pakistani general who's now a Pakistani senator named Javed Ashraf Qazi, who remembers those times very well.
Religion was given too much prominence. And in fact, Zia would reward people who showed themselves to be more Islamist. And therefore, a lot of people converted towards this thinking, out of conviction or out of necessity. But a lot of people became sympathetic to that. Some of them may be existing even today in the army or other services.
And General Qazi should know, Linda, if anybody does know, because he's now head of the Defense Committee in the Pakistani Senate.
Aren't there a number of retired officers who've gone on to careers as militants?
Yeah, as we heard from a former Pakistani Army Chief of Staff named Jahangir Karamat.
I'm saying retired members, once they retire, go back to their villages and they're living there. Anybody can approach them. You have a lot of people. This is an army which has been in existence for 60 years. It's got highly trained people who eventually retire and go back on civilian street. And then they're free to do whatever they like.
General Karamat says this happens with former American soldiers, which is true. Some go on to become military contractors, some become mercenaries, some get involved in really strange activities. And nobody really denies at this point that some former Pakistani officers who used to work with militant groups as part of official policy kept working with militants even after that policy changed. That's one problem. The other question, though, is how many current officers the military may need to root out of its own ranks.
So is there any way to tell how widespread it is?
I heard a variety of opinions from current and former officers. Here's an example. The general commanding army forces in Pakistan's violent tribal zones in the far northwest near Afghanistan thinks the problem is minor. He says he's got great faith in the army's discipline. Other officers put their faith in the army's internal investigations units, which look into these problems. General Javed Ashraf Qazi, the Pakistani senator, told me he thought the number is not huge, but he does say it's a matter for concern.
I won't say that at the highest level people are like that. There may be some, very few, who may have this thinking or who may be so inclined, because even when I was serving, there were some generals who were extremists in their views. But then all sorts of people make a society, and this happens in every society.
Would you consider the last point there for a moment? Pakistan's military has hundreds of thousands of people. They represent, in effect, the whole country. And so it's inevitable that Pakistan is going to have some problem with extremist infiltration because the military represents a nation at war with itself.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.